At this point, I'd like to invite Mike up to share his sermon, and I will be praying over him. You have all your clickers and everything you need.
I do.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mike, Pastor Mike, and we thank you for his willingness to share your love with all that he needs. Father God, give him the words, give him the confidence, give him the faith to carry on and to share with us this morning. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Well, Wellspring, it is a joy to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity and the chance to be in your pulpit, and for some of our youth, and youth leader Judy to be along. Our youth group typically is a junior, senior high combined, and we have usually about 10 to 12 people. Some are sick and just had other obligations today, but you see a representation here of our gang. And thanks for letting us worship among you. It is special for me to be back here because this is my first Mennonite church. And so I want to tell you a story as to how I wound up in this place in the last century. So I graduated from college in 1982, and my first job that I got was at Ursinus College in Collegeville. I was working in the admissions office there. And I started the job July 1st, 1982, and they let me live in, the college dorms were empty in the summer, students were gone, and they let me live in one of the college dorms while I, you know, got my feet under me and found an apartment. And even back then, as I started looking at apartments, Montgomery County was expensive to live in for a single guy. And I thought, I don't know how I'm going to afford this. I just bought my first car. I had a school loan to pay off, and I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this. So the idea occurred to me that I should get in touch with a bunch of area churches just to see if anybody knew of a connection that would be, you know, would help me to find a roommate or something. So I wrote a form letter. I went to the college library, and I got the local newspaper. And back then, do you guys know what a newspaper is? Have you ever? Yeah, okay. Back then, it was common for a local newspaper to have a page that listed all the local church services. And I just copied the names and addresses of 40 churches, and I sent a letter out to all those churches saying, my name is Mike Ford. I'm a Christian. I'm new to the area. I work at the college. I'm looking for, you know, I sent all these pastors saying, I'm looking for a place that might have, you know, somebody needs a roommate in your congregation, or maybe you've got an older widow who needs, you know, has a spare bedroom and needs someone to cut her grass, things like that. I just was looking for a cheap place to live. Well, one of those letters found its way into the hands of Charlie Ness, who was the pastor here at Upper Skipback back in the day. And he had a couple named Pat and Jake Landis, who lived right over on Monterey Road, just about a mile and a half from here. And they had a mobile home on the corner of their property. And they let me rent it for $150 a month. And the first day I moved in, Charlie was there fixing a light on the porch and invited me to worship here. And that's how I found the Mennonites, in this place. And here I am, a Mennonite pastor. If you'd have told me back in that day that not only will you find, you know, Mennonites, but you'll eventually serve the Lord as a pastor, I would have laughed. It wouldn't have seemed possible. But I was at a place in my walk in the Lord that I was looking for simplicity, and the Mennonites had something to say about living a simple life. I had grown up in other faith traditions and had never been introduced to the peacemaking Jesus. And so to come to an Anabaptist church that talked about Jesus as a peacemaker, that was a fuller gospel to me. And this church, it still had the culture that you have even today. It was small and let people be part of things. We believed, as Anabaptists do, that God works through his people, not just from a person up front giving the message or from a hierarchical system. So bless you that you continue to plug away serving the Lord. And I love that you still have a culture of sharing, of hearing from each other, of sharing what God has laid on your heart. Well, I want to bring you a message today. It's called, Do You Smell Like Jesus? And yes, it's a title that makes you wonder, but what's he going to get at? Do you smell like Jesus? Well, I don't know what Jesus smelled like. Well, I'm going to read some scripture in a minute, and we'll take a look at that. Just want to tell you a bit about myself. This is my family 5 years ago. My wife, Valerie, was a high school teacher at Souderton High School, taught biology, and we have four wonderful kids that are grown at this point. Sadly, my wife we're praying for people with cancer. My wife got a brain tumor 2 years ago, and 2.5 years ago. And sadly, we did all we could, prayed and did treatment, but last September she lost that battle, and she's been with the Lord since then. So here's my family today. I'm in the middle, obviously the old guy. I've got three daughters and a son. The tall guy on the right is married to my youngest daughter, that's Ian, and the guy on the left is my son Jacob with his partner Katie. And my kids live in, Jacob lives in New York City, my daughter Becca lives in central Pennsylvania, my two youngest live in Montana, in Bozeman, Montana. And so my family's spread out, and that's just a bit of what we've been through and, you know, how God's led us. I wondered when I walked in here if there'd be anybody I'd still know here. And right away, Kathy and Jake stood up and said, I remember you, Mike. And Kathy reminded me that she's been following along on my caring bridge, and I appreciate the empathy and compassion for my family's journey. And thanks again for the chance to be here. So today I come as a brother in Christ to say, do you smell like Jesus? And by this, I'm going to read some scripture in a minute from 2 Corinthians that gives you the context as to why I picked this title. Paul is giving us a metaphor that talks about aroma and smell. And he's saying, we Christians, we represent Jesus. We reflect him to other people. And we create an impression on them of what a Christ follower should be. It's a good impression or a bad impression or otherwise. And so as we turn to the scripture today, it's a good question for each of us, like, is the aroma of Christ in us? Do we smell like Jesus? What do people notice about us? So, a little biology lesson. There are five senses. I'm going to pick up my youth. Juliana, name some senses. What are the five senses? Easy ones. Sight? Taste? Touch? What? Smell? Yeah. And hearing. Yeah, there you go. Those are the five generally recognized senses. Well done. Scripture uses these things to help us understand more of the way of Jesus. Let me just give you some examples of the things you'll recognize in Scripture. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. Or taste and see that the Lord is good. You are the light of the world. We had a lesson on light today, so light using the sight again. Or you are the salt of the earth, referring to taste. Or you are the aroma of Christ. Now, just to make some sense, this is a short biology lesson. The nose, of course, is the organ that we have that's responsible for smell. And the cavity of your nose is lined with mucous membranes that they have receptors in them that are connected to an olfactory nerve. And so smells consist of vapors, essentially, of molecules. And as those molecules pass over those sensors in our nose, a nerve transmits it to the brain, and we figure out what those smells are. Now, a human has about 5 million receptors in their nose, so we have a decently accurate sense of smell. A dog has 200 million receptors in its nose. So to a dog, that's why they're smelling everything. They interpret everything through their sense of smell. And smells play a really important role in daily living. Like, you might be surprised at how much they protect us from things. So when you smell a bad smell or you smell something burning, like the sense of smell will help you be aware. Or when you smell something good. In fact, smell is the sense most closely linked to memory. When we smell something, it helps evoke memories. So if you ever smell something that brought back, like, oh, a time you were at grandma's house, like she made a certain meal or fresh baked bread or something like that, our smells are a big part of our well-being and our emotions. Or again, if you smelled something that gave you caution, like you knew, that milk, I shouldn't drink that. That's got a tang to it, yeah. So when you came in today, I had some incense burning. Did you smell the incense? Yeah, so that could be a good or bad smell. Some people don't like that. Some people find that to be a comforting. I saw one of you, the young ladies was back by the one incense burner. She was using it to waft over herself. So the point is, we give off an aroma that makes an impact on people. So I want to read to you the scripture that I'm basing this on today, and it's from 2 Corinthians 2, verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? So, a little context. I went too far. Or maybe I didn't. Paul, when he wrote this, he's writing to a church that he planted in Corinth. It's on the southern end of that peninsula in Greece. You can see it would be close to where modern-day Athens is. This church, he'd founded it, and they were having trouble. And he's writing to them and telling them, you need to make an impact where you are. You need to remind people of who Jesus is. And that's when he gives that image. He probably also was referring to something they understood. That scripture, again, says, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. Paul's probably referring to an image that they understood called a Roman triumph. Remember, Rome had conquered the known world at that point, and most of the Jews and the Christians at that time were under the power of Rome. When the Romans would conquer a place, they then would do this triumphal procession through that town to remind them of who was in charge. And that procession often would have the emperor in a chariot with horses, the emperor's sons, famous generals. There'd be musicians. There'd be priests in it that were waving, had incense. So when you were in a conquered town and a Roman procession came through, it was a reminder that, you know, the smell, the sound, the view of the procession remind you, oh, the Romans are in charge. They're the ones who have conquered us. And so that would be either a bad smell or a good smell. Or if you were Roman, you were like, yay, us, you know, we're powerful. We're the people in charge. Paul's likely using this image of this Roman triumph to say, remember when those military things come through and remind you who's in charge? I want you to remember something about that. It's just another image of what it might have looked like in one of those towns. So to the people to whom a Roman triumph went by, there would be literally the smell, the sight, the sound of victory or defeat or death. And Paul's using this to say, hey, we want you to be an influence. We want you as Christians to make an influence for Jesus in Corinth and in this area. And I think that's relevant today. When you think about the power of smell or the aroma, I think the metaphor for us is how much do we influence other people? When you think, like, not do they literally smell you, but do they metaphorically smell? Do you have a good aroma in that you give off the impression of Jesus in a good way in this world? That's the challenge today. Is your aroma reminding people of Jesus? Well, you might ask then, well, what aroma am I to give off? Can't we all smell different? Can't we all still be followers of Jesus? And actually, yes, we can. I suggest, though, that there are some common characteristics among us that might be good for us to think on. So as we think about leaving an impression on people, being the aroma of Christ, here's some things I suggest that we share in common. I think the fruits of the Spirit are a good place to go with this. And I just want to walk through some of the fruits of the Spirit. So we're talking about the verse in Galatians. And so when you ask yourself, what kind of aroma or what kind of impression should I leave on people? Well, I don't think it can go wrong if, number one, you love people. I think of love as charity, where you're full of good works and your acts of love towards other people are evident. You're unselfishly devoted to other people. That would be one way you could give off the aroma of Jesus. You could exhibit joy. Joy is an attitude. It's a choice that we make that we recognize happiness is not rooted in the things of the world or in circumstances, but we can walk the way of Jesus even in the midst of challenge and suffering. We can exhibit joy. I think a way to give off the aroma of Christ would be to be a peacemaker. Are you a person that can maintain inner peace and trust? Are you a person that can spread it to others even when the world is full of chaos or violence or turmoil? A peacemaker is needed today, one who isn't anxious, one who brings that calm to other people. Are you a person that can spread the aroma of Christ by being forbearing? Forbearing is meaning that you live with patience. Not much rattles you. You can treat other people with tolerance and thoughtfulness. You don't give up in difficult situations. You can overcome temptations and suffering because you are in it for the long haul. You are a forbearing person. Kindness is another fruit of the Spirit. And you can think of kindness as summing up the golden rule, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think you can exhibit kindness through acts of service towards others. When you're compassionate, when you're considerate, when you have the ability to see the best in others, that's when you're being kind. Goodness alludes to a Christ-like life. It's when we have a Jesus-centered moral compass. We put God first, particularly when it comes to decision-making and the daily living we do. We try to be conscious of sin and avoid it. We want to just walk out the way of Jesus. Faithfulness is another fruit of the Spirit, and it means that you have faith. You have hope in things that you don't even see. It gives you hope in interactions with others. You can be faithful, you can be dependable, you can be trustworthy. Let me give you two more qualities and then focus on one main thing that I want to encourage. Gentleness is another fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness means you've got a calm temperament. You act calmly, you stay away from actions that are led by anger or resentment. When you act out the virtue of gentleness, you're displaying forgiveness. You know it's better to forgive others and to be at peace than it is to be angry. Or self-control. That means we've got control of our emotions, our actions. Does the way you express yourself emotionally show respect for God and for others? Are you able to control your emotions and act out of kindness and respect? So when you think, again, I'm suggesting that we have the aroma of Christ. We leave an imprint on the world. How do we do that? Live out at least one of the fruits of the Spirit. Live out all nine if you can. That's our challenge, but just these are ways that we can all have an impact and leave an impression. And it's challenging. Like, I have trouble with gentleness in this, because I admire people who are really gentle. Not that I'm angry or things like that, but there are people in my life that I just know have an extra measure of peace and gentleness. They don't get rattled by things. They always have a kind word for somebody. And I aspire, when I see those examples, to be more and more that kind of person. If you can only think of one thing to do, I suggest that you work on love. If everyone knows us as people that love, then we will have left the aroma of Christ. And what does that mean? Love means so many things, but I think you can think of it as thinking of others as more important than yourselves, and making them and the way you treat them a priority as opposed to yourself. So let's just make this real. In our lives, this week, you will cross paths with people, whether it's at school, at home, or at work. Think for a minute of somebody that you struggle with, or that rubs you the wrong way, or a coworker that you just don't get along with or see eye to eye with, or maybe they're different politically, or you can name it. There's somebody in your sphere of influence that I just want you to kind of think on. How can you this week, as you interact with them, how can you give off the pleasing aroma of Christ? What is it that you don't have to say anything, but they will sense from you and you're being around them that they are blessed, that you are following the way of Jesus? That's where the rubber meets the road. We've got to practice this stuff where we live, work, and play. And so my prayer for you is that you would believe the aroma of Christ, that it would have, that as people remember you, they will think positive things. It will point them to Jesus. They will realize qualities in you of things like patience and peace and love and self-control. It will have an influence for good and will leave them thinking, that person smells like Jesus. Let me pray for you to that end. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of proclaiming your word and just the joy of being back here at a church that means a lot to me. It's where my life was shaped in a lot of ways. I pray for all of us that even this week, you would challenge us by your Spirit to think, where am I an influence? What impression am I leaving on people? I want to leave a good impression. And so help us to live out qualities. Help us to live out the fruits of the Spirit that leave a good impact. That no matter what someone thinks of us as a person, or whether they like us or don't, they can't argue with the qualities in our life that point to you. Help us to be a sweet-smelling fragrance that lets people think of Jesus because we've been part of their lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.